That'll bring back memories to them years to come, you know. I know some of y'all's memories about, I've heard about y'all getting took out of church. More than once, and more than one of you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. I tell you what, this is an amazing number to come here today, considering this is festival day right over across the street over here, this little piece, because I know we got several families over there working today and helping take care of that. I don't complain to them. It's a one-time-a-year thing, and the church needs a little competition anyway. Amen. I mean, just think, if all them people showed up, some of y'all had sat in the choir. Praise the Lord. I mean, let's look on the good side of things, right? I mean, we're here to look on the good side of things. You know, we come into the house of God, and I'm thankful that He gives us an opportunity to come in. You know, we chose to come here. And I think a lot about choices a lot of times and how choices sometimes later in life, you know, you can look back and say, well, that was a good choice. Or sometimes you look back and say, well, that wasn't too good a choice, you know. And so we need to let God's leadership help us in making choices. He don't force us. He don't make us. And there's times in life that He allows us to choose. I'm kind of celebrating today. You know, I'm kind of fired up. I don't know. We lost the exact date the first time I came here. I don't remember. It was on a Wednesday night. But I tell you, just real close, a day or two, 10 years ago. Praise the Lord. Got a call from Tommy Walmart, and church looking for a pastor. Got a call from Brother Tommy, and he says, this is Jim Hicks, and I used to know, and I said, no, it's the saved version. Because that's the only way I knew to explain myself. A saved version, because I'd made a choice to choose Christ. I'd made a choice to choose God and to follow Him and serve Him. And so they invited me to come out here on Wednesday night. And wasn't a great big crowd, you know. It's okay. I'm not much on numbers anyway, but I came out on Wednesday night and got an opportunity to preach, and then got invited back a time or two later. And you know, I remember after I'd been here a couple or three times, I got took back into a deacon's meeting. You know, this is that answer session that if a lot of y'all hadn't been through it, but you know, the deacons were looking for the best interest of this church. I don't have a doubt in mind that that's what they were after. And it was Brother Tommy was here, and Brother Tony, Brother Melvin, Luther Hartline, Brother Glenn Daniels, Brother Billy Gray. That was the deacons at that time. And they questioned me about several things, and about this and about that and about doctrine, about the belief. They'd already sent a folder home with me, but Billy Gray had sent a folder home with me and said, this is what this church, this is our articles of faith. And when we went through that, and they went through them and said, do you agree with this? Do you agree with that? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? And it was scripture-based, so how could I not believe it, you know? And we went through that, and at the end of that session, Billy Gray looked at me and said, what's your plan to maintain and grow this church? Fair question, right? They're interested in the benefit and the furtherance of Jesus Christ in this church. And I'll never forget the answer. I told him to keep the doors open and preach the Word of God every time we come. And then I want to step father. You know how I am. I'm going to do it right. I said, and if that don't get them, we don't need them. Y'all hear that? There's a lot of things can attract a lot of people at different times, but I'm going to tell you that Word of God still got an attraction. That Word of God still got a power, that it still brings people to this church. You know, I can look around, and it's within a day or two of 10 years right now. They elected me as pastor the business meeting in November. Before that time, before y'all voted, made the choice, you know, we make choices in life. And before y'all made the choice and voted, my son Jake, bless his heart, y'all just got to know him to love him. He said, Dad, I don't see you ever going to that church. And I said, well, why not? And he said, it's too good. I said, well, you don't think I deserve to go to a good church? He said, you never have. You know, and they were good churches, but what he was talking about was, you know, the first church I went to pastor, there's about 12 that was faithful to show up there on Sunday mornings. And but had a good run at it. And then I went up Straightway, and it was kind of low when I went. And there was a pretty big feud going on up there, wasn't it, Sheila, when I got there. Sheila was up there with me for several years. Glad to have them here today. Appreciate her support through the years. And but there's a pretty good feud going on up there, you know. No, okay. Oh, by the way, you just preach the Word of God and just go on about your business and carry right on. And then another opportunity, and then the opportunity to come here. And the choice I made to come here, looking back 10 years, I don't regret it. I don't have a regret. They've been some ups and downs. Those of y'all that's been here for that number of years and that time, y'all know we've had some sad funerals and some people passing. But we've had some weddings. We've had a bunch of baptisms. We've had a lot of things, you know, that God's blessed us in this time, you know, and I don't regret it. Some of y'all may have regrets. Most of y'all don't regret it. Most of the ones that regretted me coming left. They're not here today. You know, they gone somewhere else. Praise the Lord. You know, and so be it. I mean, you know, God, this church's not for everybody. I'm plain about it. I don't ever please everybody, but the point being, and what I want to make is choices. That we can make a choice and then years later look back and say that was a good choice. And when you make these choices, it's because we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God allows us to make choices. I'm thankful for that, that we've got a God that don't force us to do anything. He didn't force me to come here. He didn't force y'all to call me. But we made the choice. And the choice that I made that day was good for me. And I kind of agree with Jake. After I've been here a while, I decided maybe this church was too good for me. You know, now I'm not encouraging y'all to get up and start fighting in aisles or nothing. You know, I don't want to go back there. But let's consider the fact that choices we make a difference. You know, y'all chose to come here today, and I'm thankful you did. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you came. And so I'm going to celebrate a little bit. We'll talk about choices. Let's look to the book of Isaiah. If you'll turn there with me, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And I want us to look at some of the things that God allows us to choose and make choices. This is going to deal with a situation that is really just hard for me to comprehend. But I know it's the Word of God, so I know it's true. In Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Now, he gives us instructions on how to make choices for life that will be beneficial to us in the long run, in the years to come. You know, a choice you make may not make any difference the first 5 minutes you made it, but years down the road, it will come to pass that there will be a difference made. So in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16, said, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Now, I want you to look right here in the first of verse 18. What it encouraged us to do, it said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Now, that seems just about impossible or unreal to me that God would let us reason together with Him in anything. I mean, God's right every time, and we're not always. You know, but when I thought about the privilege that He gives us, when He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." And we're talking about a reasoning. Now, I understand that most of the time we need to listen. If we're going to reason with God, you need to listen, because God's always right. God never makes a mistake. And we know in this human flesh and this body, we're not that way. So when I thought about the opportunity we have to sit down and reason with God, what would be the best thing for us to say when we're reasoning with God? Nothing. Have you ever reasoned with somebody? I'll never forget an instant, a situation with Billy Gray, after I'd been here just a short time, and something came up in the church, and I didn't fully understand it. It kind of fuzzed me up. You know, I'm likely to do that. I didn't like it too good. And after the church service, I said something about it, and I got a call from Brother Billy, and he said, Preacher, why don't you come over? I need to adjust a clutch on a truck. I said, okay. And so I got on my other clothes and went over. And when I got there, he sat down on a little old stool and a 5-gallon bucket. And we sat there and we reasoned together. Y'all understand that? You know how we reasoned together? Because I didn't understand and he did. He knew the history. He knew the situation of the church. He knew what had happened before. He knew what had been going the whole time. And see, I'd made a wrong decision because I didn't have the right information. And when I talk about reasoning together with God, he knows the situation. I'll never forget what Billy said. He said, now that's the situation. He said, I'm not telling you to change your mind. He said, if you've decided how you're going to go, he said, I support you either way. But he said, I want you to know the situation so you can make the right choice. So we're here today in the house of God that we make the right choice. You understand? That we make the right choice that from years down the road, it don't come back to bite us, but it comes back to be a rejoicing and a blessing for us. And so when I thought about, let us reason together, you know, that thought came to my mind. Because I was uninformed and I didn't know history and I didn't know what had went on before. I'd made a wrong decision, you know. And, by the way, when I reasoned together, me and Brother Billy sat there and he told me the situation and what had happened and the history, then our reasoning came together. Now, when I think about reasoning with God, our decision and our mindset should come to what God's is, because he's going to give us the illustration and he knows the history and he also knows the future. Have you ever thought how privileged you are that God loves you enough that he said, come, let us reason together? I'm telling you, we're just a blessed group of people. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so he gives us the promise, you know, from him that, okay, let's reason together and say, all right, you had a problem. He said, but I'm going to change that. I'm going to alter what's going to happen in your life because I'm going to give you the blessings and the forgiveness. When he talks about, though your sins be as scarlet, I think about the time. You know, I told you, Brother Tommy called me and he said, are you the Jim Hickson I know? Because he knew one that I'm not anymore. Thank God. You know, we all had history. I guess everybody did. If you didn't, you just thank God you didn't have a history like that, you know. But when I thought about that, when it talks about the forgiveness from sin, and it goes farther, it said, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we know wool to be white. I mean, just powdery white. A blessing, you know, when you get up on one winter morning and it's come a snow overnight and you first look out the window and there's not a track in it, there's no dirt, there's nothing in it, just a white, powdery snow. That's the way your sins are before God if you have Jesus Christ and his blood shed on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way I know to compare it. Verse 19 starts giving us a choice. He said, if you be willing and obedient. Now, what are these choices that God gives? You can make it either way, but God gives us a choice. And all right, okay, now we have reasoned together with the Lord, and he has controlled our heart and our mind and our thoughts and given us the Holy Spirit of God that we make the right choice. It said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And so that's a choice that we have to make. Are we going to be what? Willing and obedient? Willing is a big part of Christianity. A lot of people don't understand about the willingness. God wants people that are willing. He don't want to beat us into subjection. He don't want to make us perform a duty. But he wants somebody that'll step up that's willing to do the work of God. And so when we start talking about willing and obedient, I mean, these things from God, this is a choice that we can make. You can have those things. It said, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. And we've been blessed in the fact that most of us have ate of the good of the land. I mean, you've got clothes on. You drove vehicles up here. You had gas money. I hope everybody's power bill's paid. And so we start thinking about the blessing, and it all goes if you be willing and obedient. And so the willing and obedient is a great and major part of God's plan for His children. Goes pretty plain. Come now, let us reason together. God said, I want you to consider this thing. Let us reason together. And if you be willing and obedient. That's the key to a successful Christian life right there, is being willing and obedient. And that's obedient to the call of God in our life. A willing to do what God asks us to do. You know, I'm just catching up on a little history about the first night I came out here. It's a wonderful time. And I thought about, they were willing for me to come, and I was willing to come, and we were, I believe, all obedient to God that day. In 10 years, you can look back and say, okay, I think that was a good choice. A good choice for me. I can't speak for the rest of the church. Well, I can speak for them. You let me stay here, so it must have been pretty good. Unless you just hate hunting somebody else. You know, it's not an easy thing anymore. Verse 20, but this is the other side of that. But if ye refuse and rebel. See how they start out? But if ye refuse and rebel. You know, we've got a nature in us that's really rebellious. You know, all of us. I think everybody's got some of this, some worse than others, and some just eat up with it. You know, in rebellion. You know, if this is the law, we don't like it. If this is what everybody wants us to do, we don't like it. You know, and there's a rebellion factor that's born into us through that natural birth. Amen. Yeah, go ahead and underline that in your Bible, Nick and Melvin. They're over here having their conversation, underlining that, you know. And I thought, well, you know, this needs to be preached from the pulpit about the refuse and rebel. And rebellion, you know, it's a part that's born into us. We've got it natural, and most everybody has some of it, like I said, and somebody got a lot of it. But it talks about if you refuse and rebel. What is it to rebel against God? First thing is not to honor Him as God. That'd be a great rebellion, wouldn't it? Another thing would be not to recognize Him as the Lord, the God of your life. That would be a rebellion also, wouldn't it? Then we come down to refuse to do what God has asked us to do. And there's another rebellion. And so it goes a little farther. It said, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, when God speaks something, it's sure. You know, I heard a man preaching the other day at a funeral. I loved what he said. He said, a lot of people tell you there's nothing sure or absolute except death and taxes. Y'all ever heard that? I've heard it. I heard it all my life. But he brought it to light that that's a lie. That's not the truth. I'm telling you, this Word of God is sure and true and eternal. You know, so you can add that to it. And then many promises of God about eternal salvation and about heaven, all those things are sure. All those things are absolute truths from the Word of God. And so we start talking about it said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's absolute. And so choices we got to make. We can choose how we survive in this life. Have you ever thought about that? We can choose how we're going to get by in this life. What? You can either, what does it say? Shall either the good of the land or be devoured with a sword. And so our choices that we make a difference in the life that we have. It not only goes there, but it makes a difference in the life that our children have. And it'll make a life in our children's children, our grandchildren. I believe it makes a difference there. Because when they see what choices we make, they will pattern. And a lot of times they will follow the choices we make. You owe it to your kids to be right with God. Okay. You owe it to your grandchildren to be right with God. I saw that sign somewhere the other day. It said, don't tell your kids how to live. Show them. Now that's it. Don't tell your grandchildren how to live. Show them. They'll learn a lot more. Everybody's got an opinion. But not everybody's got a testimony that's good with God. And they'll learn a lot more from testimony for the love of God than they will opinions that we can speak with their mouth. Want your kids to do good? Show them. Want your grandkids to do good? Show them. Let them see that testimony. I mean, it's one thing to tell them. I never had much luck telling Jake. I don't know. He never listened much. Holler amen, Jake. He's just sitting back there in the back grinning. I pick on him all the time, but he is a pretty good kid after he got 35. Amen. Let's look just a little bit farther. Book of Isaiah, if you'll turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 59. We're talking about things that penalize us and choices we make. Things that penalize us and things also that reward us. There's a reward for being faithful. There is a reward for being not rebellious but willing to accept God's will in our life. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And so we have the situation with God, and it tells us very plainly that, you know, his hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. And so it's, and when we see people that are not accepting God or receiving Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, all of our loved ones that we'd like to see saved, that really some of them just don't seem to see the need in it anymore. You know, that's the time and the age that we're in this day and time. But when we see God hadn't changed and God's still in the business of saving, and it says that his ear's not heavy that it can't hear, and I think, well, why don't we have all of our loved ones saved? And you come down to verse 2, it said, verse 2, but it said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, when I start praying in the mornings, you know, I've just got up. Most of the time I hadn't talked or spoke to anybody. Sometimes me and Joan will grunt at each other until I get my coffee. I don't really like to talk to anybody. You know, I like my coffee and I go out in my truck and I sit and I do my prayer. All right, I've just got out of the bed. I've just woke up. I hadn't had too many thoughts, so I'm not just laden in sin. You know, I'm not just overburdened with it. Now give me the end of the day and I'll get me some of it. And you will too. You can't walk through the hog pen and not stink. And we're in a hog pen. You know, that's where we're at. But I got to think about, you know, the way I start my prayer to God is I ask forgiveness. And you're thinking, well, you just got up and you hadn't done anything. Just walked out of your house and sat down in the seat of your truck and fixing to pray. But we inherited enough sin that it's there, the presence is always there. So first thing I do is ask forgiveness. And I thought about this situation. You know, that forgiveness of sin. Forgiving sins and confessed sins. Forgotten sin with God. And that put us in a position to pray. That put us in a position to talk to God that we might reason together with the Lord. Isn't that a special time in your day? That prayer life and that prayer time when God says, let's reason together. You know, gives you an opportunity to make your request, make desires of your heart. I thought how precious that is and how special. And I sure don't want to come into it, my sins and iniquities separating me from God, because that's my close time with him. Mornings, I pray morning and night. I pray on and off all day, but morning and night I have a special time of prayer in my life. Morning, I think, is greater. With me, it seems more powerful because that's the beginning of a new day. You know, at night, I'm just trying to get things closed out. You know, God help me go to sleep tonight. God this. But the morning, it's just that special, special time, beginning of a new day when you can have that closeness with God without sin separating you. You know, like I said, just getting up and walking through and making a quick cup of coffee and maybe outside of my truck, because I love to see nature. I love to see the morning. It's a special time with the Lord. But I still ask forgiveness of sin, because maybe I've had a bad thought or two on the way out. You don't ever know. I'm human. Far from perfect. I'm not what I want to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I think that's the attitude we need to have this day and time, that we need to see things of God happening in our families, need to see things of God happening in our community around us, in our school systems, at our workplaces. And this is a big trick, a part of it, that we choose. We choose to serve God. We choose that we confess our sins and our iniquities so God will not hear. You know, He's going to hear you if you'll come that way. I think I'm going to stop right there. I've said just about what I wanted to say.